So I actually have a small number of slides. I want to present an issue, and I want to have you talk about it with me. And I hope you convince you that when profiling hospitals using Bayesian methods, which involve shrinkage, that the shrinkage target really matters. This is an audience where I don't think I need to tell you, assume ignorance on what shrinkage is, but I don't know, how many people would need a little bit of help in good, okay, there is a little bit of help here. Okay, so the place that we're at is we are putting on the hat of an agency that has been charged with producing quality reports, performance assessments for hospitals. And I'm going to use the particular example of a person, a hospital sees a certain number of people during a year who arrive because they have had a heart attack, an AMI, an acute myocardial infarction, and 30 days later, we measure whether the person is alive or not. And a better hospital would have fewer people dead after 30 days of arriving at their door with a heart attack. On the other hand, it's now fairly well acknowledged that you can't just take the simple rate and report that for a variety of reasons. So you could say this hospital saw 50 people, and of those 50 people, five died, and so it has a 10% death rate. And you could, if you were very naive, just report that, then talk about some other hospital that had some number of cases and report the fraction of those that died, and you could just show us all these numbers, and you'd say the best hospitals are the ones which have the lowest death rate, and the worst hospitals have the highest death rate. That would be an extremely naive thing to do. Instead of that, we recognize the fact that different hospitals have systems by which very different patients get brought to them. So in general, if a patient has a heart attack, if an ambulance is called, they are by law required to go to the very nearest place. So if for no other reason, the people who go to Beth Israel Hospital here in Boston are going to be different from the people who are brought to Boston Medical Center because they're going to go to the closest hospital. So that's why the basic idea that people have used for a very long time to try to make statements which would be comparable about this hospital's death rate and that hospital's death rate would be not to just tell me, oh, the observed fraction who died, but the observed fraction who died in comparison to the expected number who would die, where I have some fairly complex model for predicting how many people like this would die. With this group of 50 people, I might expect 10% deaths. With that group of 50 people, I might expect 15% deaths. So I will compare the rate of deaths that I see, the O, to the rate of deaths that I expected. And if those two numbers, if that ratio comes out one, I say, I saw what I expected. This is an average hospital. Okay, if the number, because it's death, a bad outcome, if the number's higher than one, that's bad. If the number's lower than one, that's good. But people here understand that there's statistics going on. This is a stochastic process. There's a random component in here, especially if you're a small hospital. Suppose that the death rate is something like 16%, which is about what it is. That of people who come to the hospital with a heart attack in the Medicare population, 65 and over, where most of the heart attacks are occurring, about 16% are not alive 30 days later. So basically, if I I'm going to use the data that I have as hard as I can to come up with a really good estimate of what I think would be the death rate at this hospital, given the particular 50 patients who came to this hospital. And the general way in which this works is that I use claims data, and I've aggregated the claims data for individual people over the entire 365 days prior to their arriving at the hospital. And I create some sort of summary measure as a function of all the medical problems that were recorded on all the medical bills that were submitted during the preceding year. And I use that to create E. So I have enormous data sets with hundreds of thousands of people's experience in it. And in each case for the person, I have this summary information about what medical problems were or were not present during the preceding year. And then for each person, I have the 0-1 outcome, were they dead or not, 30 days after arrival at the hospital. So that's, and in fact, some of the things that might be seen in the hospital are allowed to add to the sense of how sick the person was. For instance, if we see that the person was diabetic in the hospital record, but never saw it before, we're not going to think that the hospital did something bad to them which caused them to become diabetic in the 2 days they were there. We're going to assume that they had the diabetes all along. So there's a lot of thinking that's gone into looking at the record and trying to characterize who was this person, what was their medical condition, what was their age. A 90-year-old coming to the hospital with a heart attack is a lot more likely to be dead 30 days later than a 65-year-old coming to the hospital with a heart attack. So the classic models produce an E, which is a function of all of this medical information from the preceding year and the medical information that we believe reflected the patient's status before they got to the hospital here. We don't include things like the patient went into cardiac arrest seen at the hospital, because that could be a consequence of bad care. We're trying to say, given the patients the moment they arrived, how sick were they? How likely is it that person would have died? So that's the concept of what we're trying to accomplish with these O divided by E's. Okay, but here's the problem. A lot of hospitals don't see a lot of heart attack care during the course of an entire year. About 20% of hospitals see less than 10 patients. So you have a problem rate of 16%. You're a small hospital, you see 10 cases, and none of them die, you're perfect. You have a 0% death rate. Everybody should go there because you're a perfect hospital. Nobody ever dies when they come to you. And similarly, if you happen to have two deaths, oh my God, you've got a 20% death rate. That's terrible. You're a death trap. Nobody should go there. So we don't want to report these O's divided by E's. So what we do is we smooth or stabilize the O in this equation, O divided by E, and replace it by something that's called a P. And the P stands for the word prediction, which is an unhelpful, the predicted as opposed to the opposed, as opposed to the observed. So the O is observed, the E is expected, the P is called predicted. Let's just forget the word predicted because it's not helpful. And let me just tell you, what is P? What is this thing that we put in the numerator to replace O? And you've got a lambda here, a lambda and a 1 minus lambda. Lambda is a number between 0 and 1. And the lambda is a weight. So if lambda is a half, I'm going to put half the weight on O and half the weight on a shrinkage target. Let's say, before I looked at any data, I thought this was sort of, given the patients who arrived, I kind of thought that these patients would be expected to have some sort of rate of death. And I haven't collected very much data yet. I'll say that half the weight goes on the O that I saw and half goes on the E prime. Okay, it's potentially a different E. So So I say, if I saw no data at all, if my N was zero for observing at this hospital, then I'd say, what's my best guess? I know nothing about this hospital. Well, in general, 16% of the people come to the hospital with a heart attack, die. So I know absolutely nothing. So E might be 16%. Or you could say, well, now I've done a little more looking and I've seen the particular patients who come to this hospital, and the E for these patients might be more like 10% or 20%. So I could say, well, then I haven't yet seen any data, so I'm just going to guess 10%, because that's the E. And if I've seen one or two people and they did or didn't die, that gives me another estimate, but it's very unstable. So if my N on the O, the numbers of cases that have contributed to my O, is very small, I'm going to put most of the weight on what I thought going in. So that's what it means to have a shrinkage target. And it's not entirely controlled by N, but lambda is very heavily dependent on N. When N is really small, lambda, the amount of attention you put on the number that you get from O, is very small, and the attention that you put, the bulk of the weight will be on the E that you had going in. And if you think about it, and you're trying to figure out better and worse hospitals, the amount of difference that the quality of a hospital can make is probably in the neighborhood of 3 to 5 percentage points. A great hospital might be able to take an average case mix, which has an expected 16%, maybe bring it down to 13%. A terrible hospital might have it up at 19%. So there's really, you know, the amount of bouncing around that random noise can put into this is very large compared to the amount of signal that comes from observing, that comes from understanding just typically what would you expect. Your model's been built on hundreds of thousands of cases. Okay, so it's a choice. It is not required that this shrinkage target be chosen to be exactly the same E that goes into the denominator. So fundamentally, what CMS says when it builds its performance reporting is the shrinkage target is going to be chosen as the same E that we put in the denominator. And it's just going to say, all we consider here is the case mix. All we consider is the set of patients who are going to the hospital. Were these the kinds of patients where we'd expect a 10% death rate? Were these the kind of patients where we'd expect a 20% death rate? And that's our starting point for trying to say what we think is going on at this hospital. Now, if we get to see 400 cases that come to this hospital, lambda is going to be large. It's going to be close to 1. And we will put very little weight on the shrinkage target, and we'll put a lot of weight on what we actually observed. But when N is 10, we put almost no weight on the actual observed outcome. We put almost all the weight on the shrinkage target. By the way, can you think of any reason why we might want to choose the E that is the shrinkage target different than the E that goes in the denominator? I'm going to wait a while. Think about it.
That's the output on the old divided by E. You want to change that estimate?
Well, I'm talking about conceptually, I'm talking about thinking about the practical problem we're trying to solve. So if I have a group of patients who come to a hospital and the E that I construct based entirely on their age, their sex, their medical problems, if the E that I construct represents a 10% death rate, why wouldn't I do shrinkage to a 10% death rate in the numerator?
I would assume that you're shooting to be the average hospital, right? So maybe you're saying you've got a really good hospital. Why would you shoot to have the 10% be the average? Maybe you could try to improve on that.
Exactly. So the context in which these techniques were introduced to the world was baseball averages, okay? And so I want batting averages. And so if I see somebody who's come up to bat a small number of times and they've successfully gotten on base 50% of the time, they have a 500 batting average. People who know the area know that nobody ends the season with a 500 batting average. Typically, what's a really good batting average? Anybody here who could tell me that? Maybe a 300. Okay, a 300 batting average would be very, very nice. Okay, and a 500 just has never happened in the history of the world and won't. So you could say, basically, I start out thinking you're going to have a 300 average. And as I watch you and you accumulate more and more at bats, more and more of my end rows, I will weight more what I've actually seen from you. And if you're just not hitting the ball at all, after a while, if I've watched you and you got a 150 batting average, I'm not going to keep guessing 300. And if I've watched you for a while and you have something larger, I might start. So that's where this average and shrinkage comes from. The concept that as the information accumulates about you, I move more from this grand average guess to you. But what if I knew that last year you were the best slugger in the league? Or what if I knew that last year you are not there because you're a great hitter, you're there because you're a pitcher and your batting average sucks and it's expected to suck and it's not. It's never going to be 300. So I might decide that the E prime that's in the numerator, that's my shrinkage target, would be modified. It would include the information about the difficulty of the patients I'm seeing, but it might also include other information which suggests that there's something about my hospital which, before I even see what happens there, makes me think that perhaps I will not see an average outcome. Okay, so it's a choice to say we're going to shrink every batter to 300 as opposed to the ones who we have reason to believe are sluggers to a higher number and the ones who we have reason to believe are not there because they're good batters to a lower number. Okay, so just as a note, I've simplified this to say that we're looking for the 1, the O divided by E or the P divided by E to be 1. In fact, we usually, in reporting, multiply this number by the grand mean, so that if 16% is the death rate overall, and if your P divided by E is 1, we're going to say you have a 16% death rate. So that's if you go to the hospital compare where this is reported, that's what you'll see. Okay, so take the formula that I gave you on the previous page. P, which is this weighted average of the O and the E, E prime. And now look at P divided by E. What does it come out as? When lambda is very small, what does lambda small mean? It means that there's not much information in O, so I'm not putting much weight on O. I'm putting almost all the weight on E prime. When lambda is approximately 0, and there's not that much information in O, then P over E is approximately equal to E prime over E. So if I make a choice to say E prime is always going to equal E, whatever I know about the hospital, I'm just going to always say E prime is E, then whenever you have a small hospital, you're going to report that it has average performance. Even if the aggregate performance of all patients who go to small hospitals is much worse. So in fact, it is the case that something like 19% of all the patients who go to small hospitals end up dead 30 days later. And some people think that E prime for small hospitals should be 19%, it should not be 16%. And the aggregate experience of patients who go to some of the largest hospitals is lower than 16%. And so again, there's the thought that maybe the shrinkage should not, for large hospitals, should not be to 16%. It should be to a number that's smaller than 16%. People haven't worried as much about that because they say, by the time you're a large hospital, Lambda gets fairly large, and most of the weight, or much of the weight, is going to O. And so what you shrink to isn't that important. So that's really where we were until Jeff Silber started to teach his class about the shrinkage method, which he thought was kind of cool. And he really started looking at the data. And he realized that Lambda's pretty small, even when N is fairly large. So the shrinkage target really matters. And for many of the hospitals, the Lambda is like 0.05 or smaller. So almost all the weight is on E prime. And what you report for small hospitals is nothing more or less than the statement that I am choosing to consider that any small hospital is the same as average, if one is not true.
Estimate Lambda?
Yeah, so Lambda comes out of the Bayesian methodology, you know. So the programs that you use to do this hierarchical linear modeling will basically produce that Lambda, and it's fundamentally driven by N, but it also has to do with the internal heterogeneity. Okay, so what Jeff saw was in the 20% smallest hospitals, then Lambda was 0.05, meaning even if you've got your O twice as large as your E, you're still just going to report 1.05. You're going to basically say what I'm looking at is average. Okay, and then so let me show you his pictures. So he divided the hospitals by quintiles of size, and showed that, and this, what's on the vertical axis is the Lambda. Okay, and notice that in the first two quintiles, the Lambdas are very small. And even in the top quintile, even among the 20% of hospitals with the largest Ns, the Lambdas that the methodology produces, more than half of them are less than half. So what the shrinkage target is really matters, because most of the time it counts more than what you've actually observed at the hospital. So similarly, he produced another picture. The numbers at the bottom here tell you the N's. So in the first and second quintile, you basically have less than 25 patients. And in fact, CMS suppresses that information. They just don't report anything if N is less than 25. So the reporting actually starts coming in at the third quintile. And he's showing you in that solid line, he's showing you that if you don't use shrinkage, you would be reporting typically very high problem rates for the third quintile, much lower problem rates for the fifth quintile. And what you actually report is that dotted line that basically just hugs one. Okay, and so then in this slide, what he's showing you is that if you allowed your shrinkage target to vary, so that if you were in the smallest quintile, you shrank to the average for the smallest quintile, the next, that what you would see, you would really see that sharp gradient. So it matters that you make the choice that you won't do that, and you can see that very shallow gradient that you actually get reported when you go to the website and look at Hospital Compare. So there's a lot to be said about Hospital Compare. It's a very impressive effort in public reporting. There's a lot of detail about what they actually do. But what they do is so complicated that most people don't see what they're doing. don't see the consequences of the analytic choices that have been made. So there are two common criticisms of the methods. One of them says, surely there's more variation, underlying real variation in hospital quality than you're showing. You flag very few hospitals as outliers. You tell us that most hospitals are average. That can't be right. And whether you're flagging the right or the wrong number of hospitals is, nobody knows exactly what it means to flag the right number of hospitals. These flags are just supposed to help us, guide us to see where there might be problems or might not be problems. But I do believe that this masking of systematic differences in hospitals by virtue of their characteristics is a problem, especially when we think of the characteristic of small versus large. This six of us were on the COPS committee to report to the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services about statistical issues in assessing hospital performance. This is the most contentious part. We were really fairly evenly split on a committee of six. There were two people who didn't care too much. There were two of us on each side passionately arguing that E prime should or should not be E. I think you know which side I'm on. The truth is, when you really get into this and you spend time thinking about it, there's a lot of questions about what should and should not be in such a model. And every choice that you make has consequences. If you say we know that black people come to the hospital with a heart attack are more likely to die than white people, but we're not going to put it in the model, that has consequences. Or if you say we know that and we are going to put it in the model, it has consequences. So remember, doing things and not doing things both have consequences, and you want to think about which consequences you like better. And I think that if you know that something systematically contributes to an outcome that is not under the control of the provider, that ought to go into the E. That ought to go into the benchmark against which your performance is compared. There's a lot of good people who have lots of things to say on all of these matters. I don't have the time to dwell on this slide. I have really only one other slide. If people want, we might come back and look at this slide. But there are a lot of questions about what kinds of measures you ought to incorporate in E and in E prime, and they really have consequences for what you accomplish when you do hospital reporting. So fundamentally, I believe that there's a decision. I've had it explained to me why CMS doesn't put hospital size into the shrinkage target. And they say, well, you're a small hospital, you don't control that, you can't change that, we shouldn't punish you, we know that some small hospitals are good. And I say, frankly, I know that if I have a choice, first of all, with heart attack, it doesn't matter, you go to the nearest hospital. But with other things where you do have a choice of which hospital you go to, I know that for anything complicated, small hospitals don't do it as well as large hospitals. And if we know that as a community, why should we be putting out something which is misleading, whether or not it's the fault of the hospital? I mean, it's a truth about the consequences of going to that hospital. So which is worse, holding somebody responsible for something that's not their fault or misleading the people who are making decisions about where to go? And the big, larger message is that no single way that we summarize this is going to tell the story right. So we need to understand the consequences of the choices we make, and we need to truly regularly do the kind of thing that Jeff Silber did, which is reveal the actual consequences of the choices that we're making. Thank you.
So at this point, the session time is up, but if you have questions, if you want to have discussions with any of the speakers, feel free to hang around. I don't think there's anything coming in here immediately. But let's thank all three of the speakers.
So that's my summary of telling. Notice that none, basically nothing other than age, sex, and medical problems is included by CMS in E and E prime. Everything else is out.
Okay.